Glad all y'all are here. You are in for a treat. This morning, many of you, let me say it this way. Many of you know Sonia as our kids pastor, and she is a fantastic kids pastor. Right on. And then beyond the, I guess, ministry job title, she also is a pastor. She has been gifted this way. She has been called by God. She's training and doing the process. She is learning and serving here, and she has served at other churches as well. And we are really excited this morning because she's got a good word for us. So would you give a warm Hope family welcome to Pastor Sonia.
Thank you. Yes, good morning. As Pastor Doug said, my name is Sonia, and I'm so glad to be here with you this morning, worshiping with you. So, if you have been here with us lately, we have been in the book of Luke. And since last month, we have been specifically looking at Luke 15, where Jesus is talking about lost stories, these parables of lost things, sheep, coins, and sons. And each one has been showing us this picture of something valuable that has been lost and wandered away, and a God who refuses to stop searching. And so the other week, Pastor Bree and some of our staff shared their stories in service from lost to found. They were lost in sin, and darkness, and apart from Jesus, but then they were found by his grace and his mercy and his love and the power of his resurrection. And so these stories were very powerful testimonies. And they honestly reminded me that we too have a story, each and every one of us. And so today I want to continue with this rhythm of storytelling, not to just take a break from Luke, but to show you what happens when Luke's message comes to life. And so the sermon series we've been in has been called Luke for Everyone. And so today, this is my story for everyone, my Jesus for everyone. And it's really our story. It's the story of how God has found lost people and invites people like you and me back home. And so I want to share with you about how God has revealed himself to me, how he's shown up in my life, and how he's worked in my life. So when I was younger, I went to church, and I could be a bit of a know-it-all. I was the one who raised my hand first and loved to talk. Surprise. Loved to talk because I thought what I had to say was so important or so right. I thought I had the right answers, the right Christian answers, biblical answers, Jesus answers. And so I was that kid who just wanted to show off that I knew what I was learning. But I did it in such a way that I wasn't listening to what others might have to be offering in their answers as well. I wasn't listening to what they might have to say in their own journey with Jesus, of what God was doing in their lives as well. And so I was more about being heard than I was about listening to others and how I could benefit from them. And so before I continue, I want us to remember where we have been in the book of Luke, because in chapter 15 of Luke, Jesus wasn't telling these stories about the lost parables, about the sheep and the coins and the sons, to his closest followers. He was actually speaking to Pharisees and tax collectors. These Pharisees, I would say, would be people who I would say are lost. They didn't know to whom they were speaking to and who was speaking to them. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And the Pharisees, if you know from Scripture, these are religious zealots who loved being rule followers. They were legalistic. They were more about saying or doing the right things than they were about loving others. Their heart wasn't in the right place, like mine when I would raise my hand first to speak. So, like them, I too have been lost. And I didn't come to Christ until I was 17, and I'll share more about that later on. But right now, I would actually like to turn our attention to another book that Luke has written, the book of Acts. See, because Luke 15 shows God's heart for the lost, but Acts shows us what happens when the lost are found. And so Acts 26 starts off with Luke recording the story of Paul sharing his testimony to King Agrippa. And Saul, if you know anything about him, Paul was once called Saul. And so he was a Pharisee, just like the people, the Pharisees and the tax collectors in Luke 15. They were lost, they were religious, and they were sincere, but they were sincerely wrong. And I wonder if you've ever been there yourself, if you felt like you were doing the right thing and were absolutely on target, but you were way off base. If so, then you and me both. So in Acts 26, Luke records the story of Paul, of his epic conversion story that you may have heard before in other parts of Acts, or what Paul has shared is that on the road to Damascus, he was met by God, and his story was a little bit more dramatic than what most of us might experience today. I mean, there was like bright lights from heaven, audible voices, he experienced blindness, and like, I didn't quite get that experience. I don't know if you have. If so, why aren't you up here? But my story is very different. But I do feel like the way that Paul is sharing his story in Acts 26 shares this sort of framework for how we too can also tell our stories to others, because we each have a story, and they are without a doubt special, important, and worthy to be shared with others. So the framework that I was talking about in Acts 26, it looks like this: first, admitting you're lost, then realizing that Jesus is alive, then understanding that Jesus loves you, and finally, going and telling others that same truth and story. And I think that's where my heart has been as God has been speaking to me lately, with hearing the stories from Luke and the stories from people that they shared here at Hope, is that Luke is for everyone. And so I want to share this everyone's story in hopes that you too feel encouraged and empowered to share your story. And by no means is my story over. Thank God. God is still working with me and through me. He's shaping me and forming me. And this is where God has brought me thus far. So as I said earlier, we'll be in Acts 26. Paul starts out on trial, testifying to the king, and he's sharing his story of how Jesus met him and what he feels the calling was. So if you have your Bibles today, we're opening to Acts 26. If you don't, the verses will be on the screen. I'm going to read key verses, so I highly recommend reading the whole thing in one passage at home later, but today we're going to start in verse 4. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest parties of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial. I myself, verse 9, was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted even to the foreign cities. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And we had all fallen to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me, to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And so we see that first point, what Paul has done first, he has admitted that he was lost. He says in verse 5 that he was a Pharisee. And he goes on in verses 9 through 11 that we read and explained what that life of living like a Pharisee looked like. He tells us he did things that he thought was right, but they were in fact wrong. In the light of Christ, he has now seen that because he was persecuting Christians. He was locking them up in jail, sentencing them to death. These are heinous crimes that he committed. And I want to take a note here that if you ever wonder what God is calling you to do in your life and wondering what he has for you, if it ever is something that is hurting others or moving you away from loving others, then it's not from God. That's a quick litmus test. If it's not moving you to love your neighbor, then it's not from God. And so we see God in his mercy calls out to Saul in verse 14. He says, "Saul, Saul." And notice that in this scripture, it says Saul's name twice, back to back. And anytime in scripture, when it says back to back Saul, it's more like a tender, loving term of endearment. It's not what most of us might think like, "Saul, Saul," like God's angry and needs to capture his attention. It's different. It's like a father calling out in love for his child, "Saul, Saul." So this is God's voice calling us each by our names into relation and not into religion. And then as we continue on, he says something a little strange after he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He says, "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Now, that might not be a term that most of us recognize or are familiar with unless you're a farmer. And if you are a farmer, I have questions. See me in the back after. But a goad is a long, sharp stick, and it's what farmers used to use in order to keep their herd in line so that they wouldn't wander in a direction and get hurt. So if they went in the wrong direction, the goad would actually stick them. It would poke them, and this would cause pain. It's hurtful. So what God is doing here is he's calling out to Saul, his child, and saying, life is hard when you're going in a different direction than I'm leading you in. And so he's reminding us, sin is hurtful. Life apart from God is hurtful. Life is hard when you're kicking against the goad. And so this is when Paul now realizes that he is lost. He was living in sin. He was living in a way that was bringing harm to others. And that life is hard for him. For me, my story doesn't involve imprisoning anyone, thankfully. But I too was lost, just as Saul was. I wasn't being moved by love for others. I was beating them to the punch with my question answering. I wasn't worshiping or following God in the way that I think Scripture is calling us to. So I grew up in a home that did go to church each week, and I went to Sunday school, and I sat in service, and went to Wednesday night Bible study as a kid, and I knew all those answers. I read Scripture. I prayed every night, and I mean, if there had been a Pharisee Olympics, I think I would have taken gold. And hear me, none of those things, praying or reading your Bible, are bad things. But for me, I was doing it in such a way I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I wasn't seeing a God that was alive in front of me. And I was like a Pharisee like that. I was doing things simply to do them as a checklist and not being moved out of love, but out of habit, out of duty. And so for me, when life got hard, then my foundation crumbled. There was one point in high school where I felt completely lost. In high school, I was in speech and debate, and I had this bully who constantly would tell me that I wasn't good enough at writing arguments. I wasn't fast enough at speaking. I wasn't a good enough debater. I wasn't good enough. And that voice of I wasn't good enough, that constant barrage, kept in my mind, and it would flow to other areas of my life, and it would affect me so much that one night I cried out to God, just asking him, God, why am I here? What am I even doing? Why do you feel so distant? And it wasn't until I was 17 and a friend in my youth group at church invited me to go with her to a youth conference. And at this conference, there was a dramatic skit on hell. And it showed me that everything that they had been saying at church, that Jesus is the only way, that he is real, that he is alive, it finally hit me. It made me realize I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I knew the Jesus answers, but I wasn't knowing it in my heart and living that out. So that realization changed everything for me. And that's our second point today, recognizing that Jesus is alive. For Paul, I think he recognized that Jesus was alive when he's asking the question in verse 15, and he says, who are you, Lord? And that word Lord, if you notice, is in lower cases, so it's not more like God, Lord, but it's like a term for sir. He's asking, who are you, sir? And he's saying this because he's wondering who's speaking in front of him. As a Pharisee, Paul didn't believe that Jesus was alive, right? They were still waiting for Jesus. And so he's asking this question because he and the other Pharisees did not know that the dead could speak to the living, that Jesus, the risen Jesus, was speaking to him. And so Jesus, in his love and in his mercy, answers Saul's question. He says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And now Jesus doesn't say, I'm Jesus, you're persecuting my followers. If you notice, he says, I am Jesus, why are you persecuting me? Jesus here is so deeply personal with us in his relationship with each and every one of us that he actually identifies with our pain, and he loves us through that. He's relational. He cares for us. He is that tender father calling out, Saul, Saul. So, the second part of our story, realizing Jesus is alive, he is Lord. And that brings us to point three, understanding that Jesus loves you. In verse 16, Jesus tells Saul to rise up, stand up upon your feet. And this, in the Bible times, was a sign of respect. Rising up and staying on your feet in front of someone else meant that you were on the same ground, level, looking at one another face to face with respect and acceptance of who they are. So God, in his mercy, knowing all of the things that Saul did when he was in darkness, accepts him now. Stand up, rise upon your feet. Jesus is offering that to us today too, to stand before him. Not as condemned sinners, but as his beloved children. It's like last week, if you were here when Pastor Doug preached about the prodigal son returning and receiving a ring, a robe, sandals for his feet, and a feast, God is showing his immense love for us through his acceptance of us. And in my own life, I feel the love of Jesus, and I felt it in the way that he's used key people in my life and show me his love. People that have invited me into church and blessed me with many opportunities for leadership. Even as a high schooler, I was a leader of our preschool Sunday school class. And so God has just continued to bless me with these opportunities, these chances to share my story and love others. And so when I was in college, I got an opportunity to go to a new church that appreciated women in leadership as pastors. And this has moved me towards listening to my call from God of entering pastoral ministry in the local church. And so eventually that love that I felt from people that God was bringing into my life led me here to Hope. And it's leading me to pursue ordination. And so that voice that I had from that bully, it no longer had any power over me. Because the opposite of being bullied is being loved. And in Christ, I knew that he wasn't calling me to despair. He was inviting me into love. And so maybe for you, it's time to remember that too. That you are loved, you are seen, and you can be found. Because Luke shows us God's heart for the lost. Acts is showing us what happens when the lost are found. And so our story as a church and as a people is that we are still being found today by a God who never stops looking. And that leads us to our last point, going and telling others. Our calling is clearly laid out in verses 16 to 18. If you'll read them with me again. Witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So Paul is clearly telling us what our stories are for, to go and tell others. That's our mission. That's each and every one of our callings. Because being found by Jesus isn't the end of our stories. It's a new beginning. We aren't meant to sit passively by and hear those lost parables in Luke and think, oh, how nice. We're called to move. We're called to live out what we've heard, to share our stories of how Jesus met us, is still meeting us, changed us, and is still changing us. So for myself, as I said earlier, I felt the call to pastoral ministry. And so part of pastoral ministry is what I'm allowed to do today, and that's share my story with all of you. But it also looks like sitting with a friend who doesn't know God, who doesn't go to church, and when she asks questions of what's new, what's going on, sharing part of my story of what God's doing in my life. And not in a pushy way. I'm not trying to press on her or anything, but just to share what I see God doing and moving in my life. And so I don't know where that will lead in those stories of sharing your faith with others, but I'm hopeful because I'm no longer answering questions just to answer them. I'm not trying to beat someone to the punch. I'm trying to listen to the friends and the people around me who speak. I'm listening to their words. And so I'm thinking about others when I'm in my conversations and sharing my story. And this doesn't mean that I'm saying all the right things. I think I probably still say a lot of the wrong things. But I am trying to live faithfully to this gospel call, not just in here, but in here. Because I don't want to be like the Pharisees. I want to have an active faith who knows that there's a God who's alive and who loves me. So I want to ask you, are you like the Pharisees? Are you telling your story? Do you believe that Jesus is for everyone? Every one of us has a story. And God is inviting us to tell it to our friends and our families, our coworkers and our neighbors, because you never know whose lost story might turn into a found story because you were willing to share yours. I'll say that once more. You never know whose lost story might turn into a found story because you were willing to share yours. So again, the framework from Paul: admit your loss, realize Jesus is alive, understand that Jesus loves you, and go and tell others. So let us not just be hearers of the word, let's be doers. Let's be a church that doesn't just talk about being lost and then found, but a church that actually helps people find their way home, following Jesus together. Because when we tell our stories, we join into God's story, the story of redemption that is still being written today. And so, as the worship team comes up, I'll end with this. We've looked at the stories from Luke 15 and from Acts 26 today. The lost being found, and then the found being sent. And I want to ask you, where do you find yourself in the story right now? Are you like the old Sonia, like a Pharisee? Do you feel lost? And maybe you just need to keep going, keep asking questions and seeking after God. Or maybe are you like the found Sonia, who God is still shaping and forming to be a storyteller? And you don't have to have the answer right now. If you're in a small group here at Hope, you'll dig more into this later this week. If you're not in a small group, I highly recommend them. You can sign up online. Because you never know if that small group could be a part of your everyone's story for Jesus, pointing people back to the heart of the gospel and to a God who loves. So again, from Acts 26, verse 18, Jesus sends us to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light. Because that's what happens when you share your story. Light breaks into someone else's darkness. God is calling today, Saul, Saul, my child, my child. Would you now pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being a God who searches, a God who calls, and a God who finds. Thank you for never giving up on the lost, for finding us in our wandering, for calling us by your name, by our name, tenderly and loving back home. Lord, today we've been reminded that your story isn't finished. Being written in us and through us. So help us to be a people who don't just hear your word, but live it. People who tell our stories boldly and humbly so that others might see your light breaking into the darkness. Thank you, Jesus, that you are alive, that your love meets us where we are in our doubts, our pain, and our pride. You call us to rise and stand in your grace. So may we go from this place knowing that we are loved and found and that we are sent. Holy Spirit, give us the courage this week to open our eyes to those around us who are still searching and lost. Help us to see them with your heart, to listen and to love, and to tell your story of how you've changed our lives. May everything we say and do point back to you, to a God who turns lost stories into found, and found ones into sent ones. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the one who calls us from darkness into light. Amen.